fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're going to continue to take a look today at the Magnificat of Our Lady. The church gives us this week these key passages from Luke's Gospel, both from Elizabeth and from Zechariah and from Mary and others, the prophetic word that began to come forward as the plan of God in the fullness of time began to unfold. That is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the celebration of the incarnation. And Mary is a model for us of being able to lay hold in faith of what God has given to us and what God has promised to us, and then bet everything on that promise. Earlier in the week, in the words of Elizabeth, I think are so applicable. It's an exhortation to all of us, but also it applies directly to our lives right now. She was saying, she was honoring Mary that because Mary believed with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength that what was promised to her by God would be fulfilled. She lived with a radical faith and trust in God. And it's a model for us now. It's one of the reasons why the church puts this before us, and to find ourselves, to see ourselves in Mary. Mary's the perfect and sort of quintessential disciple. She's the first disciple. She's the first one to radically respond to God's call and allow herself to be then taken up by God's power. Because whatever God calls us to, whatever vocation he gives to us, he gives us the power to accomplish that. Whatever he calls us to, he gives us the power to do, right? And so that's what Mary received. She received everything she needed, but she needed to cooperate with it. She needed to say yes. And Elizabeth is acknowledging that fact in her life, and she's honored and inspired by it. And we should be too. And then for each of us to be able to say, that's also what I'm called to as a disciple. This season is a reminder of what's most fundamental in my call as a disciple, that recognition that God has broken into time, that God has entered our history, that God has done it for a purpose to redeem fallen humanity, to raise us up, to battle for us, to fight the fight for us, to shed his blood so that we could be brought home to the Father, so that everything that belongs to the Son can be given to us. St. Peter said, we're born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading that's kept in heaven for you and for me. That's why he came, that's why he died, to give that to us. And that's been given to us now. And our vocation is to receive all that he's given to us now and then follow him on that path of holiness and that path of mission, the great commandment and the great commission, which characterize our lives as disciples. Now, in the Magnificat, we heard Mary proclaiming what God has done. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. He said that we can say the same thing about each one of our lives. God is great, and I rejoice because he's looked upon my life, a lowly servant who literally was completely unable and incapable of saving himself or herself. And he's looked upon, he's brought me salvation. The Almighty, in fact, has done great things for me. That's the source of my joy. That's the source of my confidence in my life. It's the gift that we celebrate really this week. And today, Christmas Eve, as we draw near to the celebration of the birth of our Lord, this is what he brings to us. And his mercy comes to us and all those who fear him, he says. And then she goes on to say what he's done in this act of mercy. He's shown the strength of his arm. He's shown his might and his power. How did he show that? Well, through the incarnation itself, but also ultimately on Calvary. When the mighty arm of Jesus Christ brought down the kingdom of the devil, he disarmed the principalities and powers, Scripture says, and made a public show of them on the cross. He humiliated and destroyed the power of the kingdom of darkness. He exposed it for what it is, in its pride and its arrogance and its foolishness. It shed the blood of Jesus Christ, that is Satan himself, shed the blood of Jesus Christ, which he never should have done, which cleanses all of us and purifies us. And God's mercy now is applied to our lives. And Jesus, the strength of his arm, he won the victory for us. So he has shown the strength of his arm. He scattered the proud in their conceit. Well, who's the most proud? Satan himself. Humanity, the great sin of man is pride, following the footsteps of Satan and say, I will not serve. I'll define my own life. I'll live. Look, everybody who surrenders to pride, who says, no, what's most important is not all this religious mumbo jumbo. What's most important is me. What's most important is my life and defining for myself and pursuing my happiness. That's what's most important. That pride will be scattered. That conceit, Mary tells us right here. And the Lord did it in his coming by what? By revealing the humility of God, you might say. God humbled himself. What's great in this world? Human pride now. What's the destiny of human pride? Judgment. What's the destiny of humility? Salvation. God's revealed it. He's cast down the mighty from their thrones and he's lifted up the lowly. The mighty will be cast down. The lowly will be lifted up. Does it mean that if you are a person of means or you've accomplished something or you know, you've inherited something that's put you in a position of power and influence, that it's necessarily talking to you? Well, it all depends how you relate to it. If in your heart you're humble. And that is, what's humility? Humility is not thinking less of oneself. Like, it's not the mantra of I'm a bad person, I'm no good. That's not what humility is. Humility is thinking less about oneself. I mean, not thinking of oneself so much is probably a better way to put it. Forget yourself. Serve God, serve your neighbor. If you've been given an enormous amount of grace, gift, and responsibility, great. Acknowledge where it came from. Give thanks to God. Put it all at his feet. Let him be the center of your life, the pearl of great price. Now, use whatever means you have to honor him and to serve your neighbor, to love God and love your neighbor and advance the kingdom of God. Walk in humility. Now, if you're in humble estate, your humble means it doesn't automatically mean you're humble. You can have almost nothing in this world and be filled full of pride. So the proud and the humble has to do with the condition of one's heart. So he has cast down the mighty from their thrones and he's lifted up the lowly. This is Our Lady, humble, pure, Mother of God, rejoicing because she can see exactly what God has done. He's filled the hungry with good things. Those who hunger and thirst for salvation, for life, he's filled them. And the rich he has sent away empty. The rich don't often hunger. That's what Jesus said. It's very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not possible. All things are possible with God. But it's difficult because the rich man is full. He's full of all his possessions and all of his power and his influence. And he's and his opportunities and the rest, and it's hard to make room for God and to be radically dependent on God when you have all this other stuff that can occupy your mind. It says, he's come to the help of his servant Israel, for he's remembered his promise of mercy. As I said, going into this year of mercy. Mary already told us earlier in the Magnificat, God gives his mercy to those who fear him. She remembers now. She says that God has remembered his promise of mercy. God has promised to give us his mercy, mercy in his Son. Israel in particular was to receive the promise of God's mercy and his faithfulness to the fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. God has promised his faithfulness to the people of Israel. And that faithfulness has been revealed in the Messiah, in the Savior of Israel, in Jesus of Nazareth. And he's the hope and salvation for the whole world. There's this beautiful passage in Galatians that talks about what God has done in Christ. It says, chapter 4, verse 4. It's a timely passage often used in this last week of Advent. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. What's this all about? Why has Jesus come in the flesh? Because the time has reached its fulfillment. All the prophetic anticipation, really since the fall, since the prophetic words that came forth in Genesis, right up to the moment of Christ's coming, everything built up toward his coming. And the time was pregnant. It was filled with God's purpose and plan. And when it had reached its apex, the fulfillment of God's plan did not come with the patriarchs, though they had a role to play. It didn't come with the prophets, though they had a role to play. It didn't come with the kings. They had a role to play. But in the fullness of time, God's plan was revealed. All those historic people in the plan of God pointed ultimately to the coming of the Lord. God sent forth his Son into the world, born of a woman, born under the law. What reason was he sent? For what reason was he born a woman? For what reason was he born under the law? St. Paul tells us, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. To redeem something. In the ancient world, you could redeem someone out of slavery. You pay a certain amount of money and buy them out of slavery. Christ has come to literally bring us out of the slavery of sin and death and eternal separation from God. How? Through the precious blood that he shed for us on Calvary. He purchased us, Scripture says, and at a great price, the price of his own life. He purchased us then for what purpose? So that we could become adopted sons and daughters of God. We could receive the adoption. St. John tells us in his gospel, he gave us power to become children of God. That's the gift this week, friends. That's what Christmas Eve and Christmas is about. And why the saints tell us, and Silent Night is sung, all is well. Don't be afraid. Why? Because the one thing we needed has happened. We've been purchased out of the chaotic, death-directed destiny of this world. We've been purchased and bought out of the enslavement of this world that is destined for eternal judgment and separation from God. And the new birth has begun in us. We have now adopted by Christ as sons of God. He goes on to say that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters of God. Verse 6, and because you are sons, because you're daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Through God, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir. That's what it's all about. That's what today, Christmas Eve and Christmas, is all about. You've been purchased. You've been given the grace to become children of God. How does that happen? In baptism, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Now there's a new Spirit in you. It's the Spirit of Jesus, the Son. Your son, your daughter. There's a Spirit in you now crying out, Abba, Father. God is your Father. That's the gift. Jesus has given you his relationship to the Father. That's what Christmas is. That's awesome. So through God, you no longer are a slave. You're not a slave, but you're a son. That means you're an heir to everything that belongs to the Son. The kingdom of the Father has been given to you. Let that sink into your mind and heart in these days. Find the space to have it happen. Talk about it as a family. Pray about it. Read the Scripture and let it lay hold of you and change this Christmas. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.